Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Penn State basketball tickets giveaway today on the show for Illinois on Sunday. Take care of that in just a few minutes. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Big college basketball weekend coming up. Big Olympic weekend coming up. Olympic Games drew great ratings last night, even though it was destroyed by the Big Bang Theory, but that's all right. Just kidding.
It wasn't. Not even in the ballpark.
Yep. And today, some guy hijacked a Turkish airliner and demanded to be flown to Sochi. F-16s brought the... had the airliner land in Istanbul. They're still trying to talk the guy off the plane, I guess. Claims he has a detonator and a device. But he wanted to go to Sochi. Jason Turtleman, Berwick's own. United States luge team. I will talk with him tomorrow at Sochi with the idea that we will air it on Monday. So we've got a lot going on here on the show. Also a significant retirement to talk about today.
Yeah, Harold Raker of the Daily Item, a longtime friend and great sports writer in the area. And when it comes to sports history for the local side of it, I always turn to Harold to answer my questions. And he's retiring today, so we'll have a chance to talk with him next half hour.
Looking forward to that. We also have... oh, for goodness sakes. You send me all sorts of text messages.
Yeah, well, you never read them, so it doesn't really matter. The only time you read them is when you're ready to talk on the program here.
Irina Rodnina, by the way, who with, I believe, Alexander Zaitsev, won a couple of Olympic medals in pairs.
She had two different partners, I thought she won with.
Yes, she did. She won three altogether, two with Zaitsev, and one previous to that. And she was always known for her magnificent smile. Okay. And
I don't think so.
And, of course, Tretiak, the great goaltender for the... Soviet Union Red Army team. He was the right choice to have him light the cauldron. Backstopped many an Olympic gold medal. Of course, he was the goalie that was pulled after the first period in the U.S. game in a 2-2 tie for Vladimir Mishkin, and then the United States eventually won 4-3 in 1980. But he also was the guy that was in goal in 1972 in the incredible Canadian Soviet series that the Canadians finally won 4-3 and that's where he made his name. He lit the cauldron today, so we've given you all the let's face it, that's no news. It's just fluff.
Well, they did have one minor issue, it would appear, at the opening ceremonies. Every year there seems to be something really small. And the five rings were going from a sunburst into a ring, and only four of them actually worked. So there was one that was still a sun.
Yeah.
But all the tweets that I've seen from athletes as well as reporters and commentators said that the opening ceremonies were really well put together and well done. They did not compare them to Beijing or anything else, but they did say it was well done. I thought it was interesting, though, that this particular Olympics, they didn't hide the cauldron. It's been out in plain sight the whole time.
Good.
Well, usually, that's usually a big thing with people that follow the Olympics.
Why?
It's like,
all right,
how are they going to light the cauldron? What's the cauldron going to be? You remember London had a great idea. Each one of the countries, a member of the team, brought part of the cauldron in. So everybody literally made up the cauldron. I thought that was a really cool idea. Nothing really flashy on this one. They just kind of existed.
Do you know what the key to the cauldron is? You know what the absolute key to it is?
You're
going to
say the flame, but that's not true.
Propane. All right.
Not true. Not true.
What are you talking about?
It's how they light it. Listen, I'm telling you right now, anybody that's been following the Olympics, the two questions are how they light it and what it's going to look like. Those are the two big things you're going to hear about. Now that that's done, now it's time to focus on the actual games themselves. You can't argue with me on this one, because you know I'm right, and you know I know what I'm talking about on this one.
I find, no offense, in all seriousness.
No offense, but...
Okay, no offense. You have no idea how irrelevant I find most of this stuff.
Yes, I do know how irrelevant you find it.
I mean, how the cauldron's lit? Don't care.
Oh, there were a lot of us talking about that around the office today.
Us? Who's us? Name us.
Cody and I are very into this. We've shared information all day long. Sean Carey has been getting updates and giving them to me as well. I mean, there's a lot of us here around the building, and it's been a lot of water cooler talk throughout the week.
These are people trying to appease you.
That may be, too. By the way, I literally find
all this ancillary stuff irrelevant.
Now, again, this is all part of the bigger picture, Steve. This is all part.
What bigger picture?
This is the difference between the two of us.
Go down the hill faster than the other guy. They give you a medal.
But this is the big difference between the two of us, and we've talked about this many times. You're the game event, the athletic competition, and that's it. Yeah. You're tunnel visioned on that. I like the big picture. I like the pageantry. I like the whole thing. I want to experience the entire event. And the opening ceremonies are part of the entire event. How they light the cauldron. What the cauldron's going to look like. Is it a big secret? Do they hide the cauldron? Is it going to come up out of the bottom of the stadium?
Okay, if the Duke doesn't go down the hill faster than the other guy, there is no Olympics.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Okay, it's about the competition. It's not all about... whatever.
I'm just saying this day is all about one thing.
You know, march in, light the thing, start. Okay, let's go.
This day is all about one thing. Every day after that is exactly what you're talking about. It's about the event itself. This day is about the opening ceremonies. It's about the cauldron, and that's it.
And Russian history.
Well, that's part of the opening ceremonies. I mean, that's just what they tied into it.
Just light it and go. let's move it here. I think it's great they march in. It's great you see all the flags. You see all the athletes out there at once. Okay. Do something cool. Light the cauldron. Go. Don't need some dude dancing around. Don't need sunbursts forming Olympic rings. Just, like, you know, make it simple and leave.
You're wrong. That's all I can say. You're just wrong. And I thought it was Tretiak being the guy that lights the cauldron. I thought that was a really interesting choice, because honestly, I would have put money on Putin being the one to light the cauldron. I really would have, just by the way this whole thing's been going and the way he's had his hand in it. But I thought that was a great choice.
No.
But the whole thing that ran into my head the whole time was Herb Brooks. From Herb Brooks' comment from the movie Miracle, you guys just knocked out the best goalie in the world.
Right. But you're talking about somebody who has... The reason he was selected, along with Irina Rodnina, is that the two of them have international appeal. the two of them are known worldwide.
Absolutely right.
And that's the reason that they were selected to do it. It has nothing to do with the movie Miracle or anything
No.
A lot of people felt Tretiak could have been a great goalie if he played in the National Hockey League. He just wasn't allowed to do it. Now, of course, you've been able to get several members of the Soviets. I mean, look at Malkin, for goodness sakes. I mean, Malkin's going to play for the Russians. I thought one of the nicest moments, actually, in the opening ceremonies is when you tonight watch Slovakia come in. All right? Here's Slovakia. Okay, they're going to get to play in the Olympic hockey tournament. The Boston Bruins gave Sedano Chara the last two games off so he could carry his country's flag into the Olympic Games in Russia.
See, they get it. They know what it's about.
Oh, I would have done the same thing. I know what it means to the guy to do this, especially there. Okay? Especially there. Right? You have to remember, these people invaded his country.
Absolutely.
All right? Invaded it in 1968, I believe. So you can talk about cauldrons popping up all over the place. I know history. Okay? And the Bruins did the right thing. I would have told them, you go and do that. Okay? That's more important because the fact that it's in Russia, and he gets to walk on Russian soil with his flag after what they've done to his country. I know I keep bringing this back to the political part, but I'm sorry. Putin has created this, so guess what? We all get to run with it.
But to say the Olympics don't have any political overtones, even though the Olympic Committee would like that not to happen, that's impossible. It's just not the nature of things. You know, a great example is 1980 and the boycott of the Summer and Winter Games by the United States and the Soviet Union. That was all politically oriented.
There was no boycott of the 1980 Winter Olympics. It was the Summer Games.
Was it the Summer? Or 84. I'm sorry. I meant to say 84.
84, the Eastern Bloc, except for Romania, did not go.
Right. 84 was the Summer Games in the United States, the Soviets boycotted.
So,
you know, to say that there's no political overtones in any of this, that's definitely naive.
So, but I think it's great the Bruins let him do it. Everybody else in the NHL gets to play on. I think they have two more games in the NHL before they go over. But the games are underway. And they parachuted the cauldron into the center of the, right? Is that what they did?
No. No, they did not.
Oh. Oh, okay. They created a forest fire that went right up to the cauldron.
Yes, that's what they did. You hit the nail on the head.
Right. Started by a stray dog. All right.
Brother.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I have to admit, I was telling a friend of mine today about how you were talking about the bobsled run.
That it goes uphill a little bit to keep it slower so they don't have the incident they had 4 years ago.
And you should have seen the look on his face.
It's not my fault you're hanging around the wrong people.
Well, we can certainly get somebody else in there to work for you.
I'll take the next 16 days. I got a lot of TV watching to do.
Why? We'll already know the results before they're on. I'm not going to watch.
No, I watch everything live. I'm not watching it recorded.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Well, the opening ceremonies I can't watch live.
Hold on a second here. Yeah. Okay, you are not going to watch any figure skating live. I can guarantee you that. No, you're not going to watch. There are certain events you are not going to see live. They're just going to be on the tape.
And that's something I'm not worried about is figure skating.
Ooh.
Not a big figure skating fan.
You just hurt the feelings of every woman in the area.
I'm not saying it's bad. I just said I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Well, first of all, we'd like to tell everybody we're brought to you today by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You can stock up right now for a big weekend of All right, Olympic watching.
Thank you.
In fact, you may want to really stock up so that it becomes bearable Olympic watching. Also, snacks. All right, pickle bar, fresh hot roasted peanuts, pictures of Kevin. All right. Harold Riker joins us from the item. This is a big day because it's a day that he steps aside. First of all, congratulations on an incredible career, and it's our privilege to have you on the show.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
For you, in the end, what determined that you decide now would be the right time?
I guess I just wanted to have time to just relax and do some things, just get away from the pressures of the job. So, yeah, I'm still going to write. I'm just getting away from all the other part of the job that's, you know, after a while it just kind of gets old, you know.
Sure. But let's go back to 42 years. What drove you into the business? What was the passion behind it?
You know, well, I have to think about that. I actually was going to, plan was to go into radio. And a job opened in a newspaper, and I decided to give it a shot. And never went back.
In the end, what did the move to the Daily Item mean to you?
The move to the Daily Item?
Yeah.
Well, it gave me a lot more opportunities. I mean, back then, the paper I worked for, I was for about a year. It was a much smaller paper, and you know, so I got to do a lot more things. You know, much bigger area. You know, met a lot of new people, a lot of people that I would have never met had I not been in the job here. And when I started, I was in the news. But I wasn't in sports. I was covering, you know, courts and police and you know, just about everything, school boards.
Then how much of a relief was it to go to sports?
That was a big relief. I was pretty tired of that by the time I moved over to sports, which was around 81, 82.
Right. For you, as you've gone through this, there have been so many changes in your business. Has it been hard for you at all to adapt to the changes in the business and how media is now brought to the public?
Yes, in some ways. And more recently it has been because it's gone from more to online, you know, more emphasis on online than on the print, I think. And all the technology, you know, it's kind of like when I was, I remember when the computer age kind of got started and my kids knew a lot more about computers than I did, and it's kind of like that. The last couple of years, when you know things kept evolving here, and sometimes it was a challenge to keep up.
When I sit down and lecture to my class, and I teach one broadcasting class here at Penn State, and I always tell them that one of the more important things that you need to do early in your career is to really figure out what makes your area tick. That even though you may have your own personal passions, sometimes they don't always match up with the area you're in. How fortunate were you that that match worked?
Well, I was. And one of the things that early on, where today we pretty much specialize in, you know, the last number of years I've just covered a couple of specific sports. But in the beginning, I covered field hockey, and I covered sports I'd never even seen, you know, field hockey and soccer, and you know, and today we have lacrosse, and we have so many other sports. So you know, anybody can get that opportunity to just try all these different things. Swimming, you know, it's not just, you know, baseball and football. You know, it's tough, you know, when you try to do it initially, but you learn a lot from it.
In an incredible career, what story to you stood out that you wrote that above all you feel is a signature moment for you?
Well, I don't know if there's a signature moment. I mean, somebody else just recently asked me about, you know, like a top story, and I remember in this area, people will remember the Milton boys basketball team that went to the state final, and to get there in their Eastern final game, they looked like they were going to lose, and they had a kid take the ball around midcourt, drive up top of the key, and hit a bucket at the buzzer to win the game to beat a team that was supposed to beat them, Holy Ghost Prep from the Philly area, just to get to the state final, and just the atmosphere of that game and that win, the way the crowd. That's, you know, it really, that's what makes it fun when you have a game like that where the people go crazy in a good way. So I think that one stands out. There were lots of others.
We always hear, Harold, that kids have changed over the years. They're different now. All right. Now, you've covered athletes for years, young people for years. Have they changed?
No. I've interviewed 8 and 9 year old kids playing Little League baseball, and I've interviewed college and occasional professional athletes. I think maybe the only thing that's changed is a little bit of the language and the music goes into. I think they're the interviews are pretty much the same.
What have you always enjoyed doing? Where you woke up every day and said, you know, I have this particular event or sport in front of me today. This is going to be a great day. What would that be?
You mean to pick one over another as far as a sport?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sure.
Or a few.
How about a grouping where you're fair to a lot of people here?
Okay, well, we get into the summer. As the summer moves along, I get really anxious for football season. And I love high school football and even the local college football. So that's probably the big one. But I cover track and field, and I really, really enjoy that, especially if there's a real big meet or if we're into the postseason and you have local kids, you know, trying to qualify for states or, you know, medal at states. That's pretty exciting stuff. Well, really all the sports. Like right now, I'm covering wrestling, and the postseason's about to start. That's going to be exciting. I love going every weekend, you know, to cover that and see what the local guys are going to do.
Harold, you have a table down there at Hershey now, don't you? I mean, don't you have a nameplate even?
I think they took Rod Frisco's name off and put mine on.
I do get a good spot
down there. I will tell you that seniority does help.
That's good.
Listen, I'm telling you, I've seen that spot. That's better than anybody else gets down there.
It's pretty good.
It's all in who you know.
Yeah. Well, it's just being there a long time.
I tell you, it's a Friday night in October. Tell me what Friday night in October means to you, and so forth.
I've never lost the excitement for an October Friday night football game. I mean, it doesn't even matter. You know, if it's a great game, if it's two undefeated teams or something like that, it makes it better. But, you know, just that's where I want to be on a Friday night. You know, there's nowhere else to be.
What makes it special?
Well, I guess I've always loved football. You know, I've gone to football games when I wasn't working. You know, if it's a Friday night, I'm going to find a football game. The fall weather. I mean, that's always been my favorite season anyway. So I love the fall, and then you add football to it. It's just, I don't know what else you can say. It's the best time of year for me.
Harold, have you ever put together your picks and figured out your win loss record in your high school football picks?
You know, just for the season. No, I've never gone back and looked at that. That would take a while because I've been doing it a long time. I keep it up week by week and then tally it at the end.
Because Kevin usually has the playoff picture figured out by October 3rd.
And Harold's usually the one to tell me, hey, you forgot about this one. I'm like, oh, you're right. Thanks.
I try to keep him on his toes.
Somebody asked him, Harold. Who's going to do it now?
Oh, well, I don't know yet. I don't know who's going to do what yet. I'm still going to be around. So it just depends on how things get divided up. So we'll make sure somebody's checking in on Kevin, though.
Yeah, that's my job on a daily basis. And right now we're trying to figure out how to get him to North Korea in 4 years.
it's South Korea, not North Korea.
No, that's where we got the hotel.
If I had a choice.
Yeah, but we were able to get Kevin a cheap hotel in the north.
There you go. So, there you go.
We all have budgets.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's exactly right. You know, we've always reminded, and of course Kevin goes to the Phil Lockhoff gym now, mm-hmm. and of course we lost Phil within the past year, That also reminds us of the coaches that you've had to deal with over time. How fortunate have you been in your career to deal with the coaches that you have dealt with in this area?
Well, it's one of the things that's great about this area is we've had so many coaches who have had the longevity that you don't really see much anymore. And I don't think you ever will. Guys like Phil Lockoff and Ron Konasky, Dick Brunell before that, and just guys who, that was their life. And I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of the pressures and a lot of the coaches today. They just get tired of dealing with the. It's probably not a popular thing to say, but parents, and I'm not condemning all parents, but they have to deal with a lot of stuff that people on the outside don't realize. I had a coach tell me one time, a local football coach, who said, he was telling me about some of the problems that they had with people, and he said that if I get out of this job, if I resign here in the next couple of years, I will be telling you that it's for personal reasons, but I can tell you right now ahead of time it's because of the parents that I'm dealing with.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting about that. Yeah, you know what's interesting about that, Harold? Bill O'Brien, when he took the Penn State football job, and I was in his office one day, and he said, you know what's really different between the pros and this? And I said, what's that? And he said, dealing with parents, actually. Mm-hmm. He says, you don't have to. He says, you don't really deal with Brady's parents.
Yeah, right.
We're in respective businesses here, mm-hmm. or the business of media, where so many people want upward mobility and they want to work their way through the chain and in your business get to Gannett and write for USA Today or Sports Illustrated. In my business, work your way up and get to NBC and do the Olympics. What was it about settling in the Valley and settling in Sunbury that made it fulfilling for you?
Well, I'm from the area and I did enjoy that. I looked a couple times at some other possibilities, but all my family's here, and I know everybody, and I guess it was a comfort zone here. You never know what you're going to get into when you move on and move up. I just like the area and the people.
All right, for relaxation in retirement, alleged retirement, you're still going to be doing some work, okay? What do you like to do away from the job?
For a while, it's going to be still going to be going to games. I will go to a lot of games where just to see games, because that's something you don't get to do very often. I've always been a fan, and sometimes it's hard to be a fan when you're in the business. And I'll probably do a lot of that, and do some traveling, nothing major. Relatives in some other states that we go visit. I might take up fishing again. I haven't done it in decades because I didn't have time. I'm not sure yet. I haven't thought a whole lot about it.
Good. Any moments where you're going to sit back and say, you know what, this is really nice. I don't have to rein in Kevin Herr anymore.
Yeah, I've already started to think of that.
Thanks. I appreciate that, Harold. Listen,
drop me a note so that I'll know what it'll be like when I get to that point. I don't have to rein him in.
I want to say that it has been my pleasure for pretty darn close to 20 years now, working with Harold and sitting next to Harold at many different sporting events. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate your friendship and the relationship that we've had over those years as a working and also away from the working relationship we've had, Harold.
Well, I appreciate that. And that goes both ways. It's been fun. And we'll get together again, I'm sure.
Harold, you're a pro's pro that I have tremendous respect for, and I congratulate you on a marvelous, marvelous career and run. The Valley is richer for having you on that newspaper and that beat for years.
I really appreciate that, Steve. It was nice talking to you guys today.
Absolute pleasure on our part as well, and I know we will see you around even in retirement. Harold, thank you so much, and congratulations on what is certainly a marvelous career.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Harold Riker, Daily Item. We'll come back with more. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, where you can't stock up enough when the Olympic Games are on and Kevin's in your house. You just can't. Snacks, beverages, lots of beer, domestics, fresh hot roasted peanuts, pickle bar, Buhner can't get back fast enough. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend.
It was our privilege and pleasure to have Harold Raker on the show today, talking to him about his marvelous career. You know what? We are in a business where a lot of people have that feeling of upward mobility, where they want to go someplace else. They want to, work their way through the chain, and all power to them. I mean, look what it's done to the marvelous career of, say, a Bob Costas, the marvelous career of an Al Michaels, a Jim Nantz, and so forth. Everybody works their way through the chain and gets to a certain point. I was talking to somebody that I worked with a couple of years ago, Melanie Collins. Well, I saw Mel at the Super Bowl, and she told me she just got a job at the Golf Channel. I mean, but then there's certain people that want to be, that just find a spot and they love that spot and they settle into it and they become an institution in that area, and their knowledge of that area is invaluable to either readership or listenership or viewership, whatever it happens to be. And that's very, very special in its own right, because they feel that that's the job they've always wanted to have. And this area has been richer by having Harold Raker at the Daily Item. Much richer. And the fact that he wanted to stay. Steve Williams joins us. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good. How are you guys today?
Doing great, Steve. Great to hear from you.
Hey, I just wanted to send my well wishes to Harold on his retirement. He told me about that a while ago, and it's just hard to believe that he's going to retire. I've been hanging out with that guy for so long, and so many different venues, football games, wrestling matches, the dusty press box of dirt tracks, and always a great guy, always a good guy to talk to, and I'm sure he'll enjoy his retirement, but I'm sure he'll still see him around.
What's really interesting is, I think, Steve, is that over the years, I think let's go back like 30 years ago, I think there was a lot more competition between the written part and obviously the on-air part in terms of competing with one another. And I think over the years, it's all melded together, and so many people have become really good friends once everybody understood exactly what the respective jobs happen to be.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you there. When I first started with radio, there was a definite competition between the radio station and the newspaper. And that all kind of went away, I guess, when I was there kind of doing the stuff on my own, because, I just kind of, radio was not what I came in and did. I just came in because I was a sports guy. Not only Harold, but some of the guys that have been there at the newspaper, John Huckabee, and one of the guys that I always thought was a great guy, and I know Harold has a great deal of respect for, was Bill Tolan, who was a sports editor for many years. And I think he kind of picked up his mantle.
Well, great tribute, Steve. Appreciate it very much. Just one quick, are you going to watch all 5,000 hours of the Olympics like Kevin, or are you going to cut back a little bit?
Well, You know, I'm probably going to be like Kevin and not watch the figure skating, but I started last night, and I'll watch a good deal, but I'm sure.
Your check is in the mail, Stephen.
11.8 rating last night. 11.8 rating last night for the Olympics on a preliminary night. It's the best Thursday they've had since Thursday Night Football to start the season. All right, today's show brought to you by... See, are you proud now, Kevin? I gave the Olympics a positive bump.
I'm ecstatic. Hey, let's give away some Penn State tickets. What do you say?
Sure. We have them at the front desk. Come out and get them.
Fifth caller, 1-800-795-9565. You could be going to see Penn State and hang out with Steve on Sunday.
What, instead of watching the Olympics? Really?